Blog Talk Radio.
And now on Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, fans, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our eighth show here on Rendezvous with Maggie. And today is Monday, July 15th, 2013. And today we will be discussing tricks, tools, and secrets to making life feel better. I'm going to ask again for your patience. I didn't want to cancel today's show, but I've been dealing with an incessant cough for several weeks, but today seems to be okay. I just took some cough medicine before I started, so I'm going to try and get through this without coughing in all of into the microphone, so bear with me. Send me some good energy if you're listening. But anyway, before we go on, I want to put in a plug again for our big Royal Unity Gala concert benefit this month on Saturday, July 27th, and at a very elegant venue in South San Francisco, the Fort McKinley, where it is just absolutely beautiful and delicious food. There's parking, wonderful people there, and we're excited to have it here there this year. And we are just, it's going to be extremely exciting, period, because we've got a lot of awesome music and musicians, and dinner will be provided as an option before the concert. We've got some VIP tickets and dinner and concert options for tickets. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be formal or semi-formal, so we all get dressed up and play fancy schmancy. So please, if you're local, and even if you're not, please come and support our gala. It's a benefit for Royal, Realizing Our Youth as Leaders, Inc., a nonprofit organization I founded 10 years ago, and we've survived. And we are working with some of the most high-risk youth individuals and families in the Bay Area. And, you know, Royal has survived through the hard work and dedication of hundreds of people, along with these kind of fundraising benefits. And all of the musicians are donating, and musicians and bands are donating 100% of their time and talent, including the legendary Richard Bean, singer and songwriter of Suavecito, which, by the way, is celebrating the 40th year anniversary for Suavecito. And we also have the pleasure of having Juan Escovedo from the Escovedo family and Anthony Blaya, also renowned for his music. And we'll be featuring Flow, which is Funky Latin Orchestra, and Los Cochinos, and in some great new bands, Rumores and Lumbre, and we'll be, and the show will be opened by Conga Compay, a group of wonderful congueros who have opened up many of our shows in the past. And we'll be blessed with some incredible musicians who are coming together as the Latin Rock All-Stars band for Royal, with some of the best and most loved musicians here in the Bay Area. And I do want to send out a special shout out to all of the volunteers and supporters and sponsors and the performers and musicians, and Mia Flores, who's our music coordinator and MC, as well as the beautiful Ford McKinley, and of course everyone who will support our event or our organization. So please visit the event website to find out more info, to purchase tickets, or even make a donation. Every bit helps. The website is royalpresents.org. Okay. So, now to our topic. You know, I wanted to do this topic because I have a deep respect for the fact that we all have challenges in life, and some of us more than others. Some of us have been born in more challenging situations. Some of us have experienced more challenging situations throughout life. And not just in terms of quantity of challenges, but the intensity of challenges can vary that we all deal with, right? And throughout my lifetime, there have been several quotes that have stuck in my mind since I've heard them. And it's kind of been like a mantras that I would repeat to myself or to others at times. And one is from a book. It's called The Road Less Traveled. And one of the first lines in the book says, it says something like, life is hard. And once you accept that, it becomes a little bit easier. And I'm sure I've mentioned this in other past shows because I say this often, but it's true. And it's not that I want to focus on the negativity in that life is hard, because many people say how you view things, or even I will say that later in this show, but you know, how you view things is what our reality becomes. But if I were to even just reframe it, you know, life is just not always easy, right? And we all know that, regardless of whether we want to avoid staying negative, we just know that challenges come up. And so once we understand or accept that challenges are a part of life, then it can become easier. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I've even thought this to myself in the past, or I hear clients or friends and family say, you know, every time things get good, something bad will always happen. And, you know, the reality is, it's true. Because life just is not kind of stagnant. And, you know, whether we have control over much of life, not everything is within our control. So just life by nature is changeable, and challenges will come up because we have to deal with situations, we have to deal with other people, we have to deal with the natural aspects of our planet, just things happen. And so we have to accept that, yeah, even when things are really good, things will happen, negative things that we may not want to accept or deal with, but it's going to happen. And what makes a difference is how we cope with the things that happen, and also how we view or perceive it, and then what we do about it, right? There's another quote that was once told to me by a friend while I was crying about something. and it comes from the Buddhist philosophy, in that it's pain is inevitable and suffering is an option. Again, pain is inevitable and suffering is an option. And I had recently told, actually, I think I told my mother this a couple of months ago, and she says, I don't understand what that means. And so, you know, basically, if I were just to kind of attempt to break it down, you know, pain is inevitable in that, you know, we're just going to experience things in life that are painful. Things are going to happen and it will affect us. It can be painful. We can't not let things, be to a point where we just, it just won't hurt because we've decided that. You know, we are human and we have emotional reactions. We have emotional responses to stuff. So stuff's going to happen. It's going to hurt. We're going to experience pain. But suffering is an option in that how we go on about life, what we do, what we think, will either extend the pain to where we will be suffering and feeling the pain and it's never ending, and we just don't move on, or that's basically it. Suffering is or it's long term and we can't move on, and it affects us to a point where it almost seems like everything is too helpless or hopeless. And the reason that's an option is because there are actually things that, again, going back to this whole topic, is that there are things that we can do, how we view things, how we perceive things, that can keep us from that, or from suffering. And it's not easy. I'm not saying that because I know the tools and the tricks and the secrets that I am beyond feeling times of suffering myself. But when I think of suffering, suffering is basically where it's just too dismal to feel hope. And it stays that way. Okay, so that's my thing there. Okay, so again, I had mentioned the reality is that, you know, there are things in life that happen, and sometimes, you know, these things we had or have complete control of, and we kind of made it that way, or we made it worse, and then there are sometimes, you know, we had partial control over the situation, and even sometimes, you know, very minimally. And of course, there are times that we had no control over it at all, right? I'm talking about the negative stuff, the hard stuff. And there are things that can happen to us that can run the gamut all the way from recognizing things in our life, the challenges or issues in our life. We can recognize those things just as wonderful and exciting blessings, all the way to the other extreme in it being, in those things being so extremely traumatizing that it can feel like it has just destroyed our lives, or it will destroy our lives, and there's just no way of getting past it, right? And so doing what I do, as a profession and as a therapist or working in the helping profession, especially working with really some of the most horrific cases. You know, it's been extremely humbling for me. I mean, things that, you know, I would have never thought of in my own, you know, naivete throughout life. Well, from before until, of course, I was exposed to it in working with these cases. But, you know, I can look back and I can look back on so many of my own painful experiences from the past. And, you know, dealing with all of the stuff that I deal with and what I know, you know, you realize that there's just so much more out there that could have been worse. And so, you know, yes, partially this helps to put it in that perspective, right? But you know, we're human. I'm human. We're all human. And we all experience pain and hurt and struggles and challenges. We get confused and, you know, so on and so on. And regardless of how much we can recognize that there could be worse things in life, even though it is important to keep that in perspective, it doesn't keep us from feeling the pain. Right. There's a saying I often repeat to my clients or to those I'm trying to support or help, and even things that the same thing that I keep telling myself at times is that we can't control our feelings. We can't control our feelings. However, we can control our behaviors, our actions, and try to alter our thoughts, which can eventually shift our feelings. And that's, again, kind of some of what this is about, or the topics of what I discuss in my show, and finding out some of these things that can be done, right? What are some of the thought-changing techniques or behaviors that we can do or implement to shift feelings into very negative, hopeless, despondent feelings to more hope and some feeling better, hopefully. And so with this, in my work and in my journeys, and what I've observed from, you know, the thousands that I've worked with, I've definitely come across many of the tricks I've had to play on myself, and have helped, you know, provide some of this to others. Basically, the tools to find the secrets of making life feel better. Again, to find the secrets of making life feel better. And I saw kind of, and I kind of got all this and saw it and put it together, you know, from a lot of observation and insight and analysis of my own, you know, my own stuff. And, you know, I always say I have to practice what I preach. And I never want to talk about stuff just because I read it somewhere, but I have to have had experienced it myself or been a part of it with someone else. And with that, and this is actually a very known fact, that much of our reality is based on our thoughts and feelings about most things. Now, there are other aspects that I haven't discussed here, you know, the spirituality aspect. You know, I will say here that I'm giving specific tools that we can do. I'm not including the spiritual aspects so much here yet. Maybe that'll be another show. But of course, faith and prayer and meditation make a big difference as well, right? In case I forget to mention that later. So again, I want to point out that, you know, these things that I'm going to be discussing, they're just a few. There's just a few things out of the, I can't even count how many options there are to consider or to explore, but they're few and they're broad in range to cover as many issues as possible without going into the specific of things, because there's, depending upon what the specific issues can be, there can be a whole, you know, set of other different types of tools and skills to address those. For example, you know, how to feel better in your relationship, or how to feel better after the loss of a loved one. I mean, there's a lot of different specific subcategories, but this is something that's more broad so that it can be applied to many, many of the issues. Okay. So one of the things that I always want to put out there first is, you know, because you are kind of the driver in your life, it's important, you know, we are all our drivers in our life, that we do something about it, right? We take the steps to make life the way we want. We can't expect others or life to just hand us the answers. So do the work, research. Whether you're researching through books, whether you're researching through my radio show, researching through YouTube, talking to someone in the helping profession, basically looking for the answers, you know, and paying attention to life and the lessons you're supposed to be learning. So you have to do your work, right? Because I always say life is a work in progress, and there will never be, we'll never have all the answers, because there's just innumerable things to explore. But I wanted to provide some anyway, some psychoeducation and some specific things to consider for everyone to have a jump-off point, okay? If you haven't already utilized or know some of these. And sometimes, you know, I can know most skills I've even mastered and teach them, but being human, and when we go through our stresses, we can lose sight for a while, or we need to be reminded. So at the very least, if these are things that you already know, at least I hope it can be a reminder. Okay? Okay, so here we go. First, I always like to say, decide how you want to feel, right? You want to feel, or how you need to feel. Because sometimes we're just not ready to feel better yet. And sometimes things can be very new, things that can be shocking or again, very traumatizing or painful, and we're still in a state of grieving or healing or processing. And so we need time to even just get enough energy to want to feel better, let alone implementing the stuff to feel better. So sometimes time needs to happen, but you definitely need to get to that place first where you want to feel better, or you accept that you need to feel better, right? And I often say, to start getting things to the way you want, you have to want to, or at least want to. Okay, so then again, we start off with a state of mind. And then another big part is focus on your energies, because what's going to be big in making things feel different is that you've got to shift your energies. Energies are a very real aspect of life. Everything has energy. Everyone has energy. We function off of our energies. And so be very cognizant, be very aware, learn your energies. Learn whether you are feeling, if your energy is low, and, you know, is your low energy because you're not taking care of yourself too much, or you are, could it be a physical, medical condition? Could it be you are not living as balanced as you need to be? Are you surrounding yourself with people who have more of a negative or low energy? Or do you keep yourself, do you have the thoughts or behave in ways that keep your energy low? Do you create your own energies to be low? And one thing that I also want to point out is that in life, many of us kind of run on autopilot, even though we don't realize it. The way we respond to things, or the way we react to things, or the way we, our automatic thoughts, because we develop our responses or reactions down to our cells, to a cellular level. And so we, and it becomes, it's just becomes a pattern or a habit. So we may have established a go-to reaction or response to being negative, or to feel hopeless, or to feel depressed. And this can have stemmed from way, way, way back in our childhood where we have experienced feelings of helplessness or hopelessness, or we've been traumatized. And so we have developed an automatic response or reaction, or again, automatic thoughts, which affect our feelings down to a cellular level. So the good news about that is that if we know that, and we recognize what those automatic thoughts or feelings are, and we want it to be different, then we can take even just baby steps to start off of how to try to do things differently, or how we will respond. You know, again, we can't change our feelings immediately, but implementing new thoughts or trying to do something different can start to shift those patterns that we've developed for most of our lives. Right, and recognizing it is the first part, and the second part is changing it up. And an example, this is a very shallow example, but for example, in hypnosis, as a hypnotherapist, when I'm treating someone who wants to quit smoking, you know, certain things will trigger their thoughts or their feelings to where they need to smoke. And usually they smoke a certain way, you know, using, you know, the same two fingers they always use. And one of the first behavioral modifications that I implement is that they have to use two different fingers, right? And sometimes that's even more frustrating for them. They just kind of resist that, or they don't want to do that because they're very set with their patterns, or their, that's just their automatic go-to. So, again, be cognizant of what are, especially when we are on autopilot, or things are just so automatic for us, we don't even recognize that to be the case because it's just what we know. But try to be aware of that, right? So, for example, if you hear, you know, if you're feeling lonely or you're feeling hurt, and you have a certain go-to vice, whether you're drinking or you need to eat tons of chocolate, or whatever, just at least recognize what those automatic things are, right? And then you can come up with a list of some of the things to do about that. Okay. Going on to the other points, another thing to do is to recognize how you're viewing the situation, right? Again, this is kind of touching on what I've mentioned in the past, because so much of life and our issues stem from our perspective and how we, you know, have we assigned a judgment on how things should be or how it's supposed to be, and which I often encourage or inform those I work with to avoid the shoulds in life. But, you know, are we looking at things of how things should be? And then if it's not how things should be, do we consider the situation completely hopeless or helpless? And that's something, earlier I said something like, I always tell, and then I stop myself and I reframed it. Because one of the other things that is important to recognize, some of our things that we say to ourselves or we say is, you know, kind of things that seem all or nothing. So always or never, right? That we have to be careful of focusing on the extremes. Are we looking things as an all or nothing? So it's important that we don't look at things in extremes, the always or never, all good or all bad. Be able to separate out the issues. Don't clump everything as a whole. So with that, our view of the situation, many of us have created or we have accepted the story in our life. So do you have a set story in your mind and the way to find that out is if you find yourself talking about the situation to people and you just have the same story and you know you're saying the same thing over and over again and how your experience was of it and especially dealing with the injustices or the things that were where you felt victimized, that's the story, right? When we have the stories that are very traumatizing or hurtful, it can create a set point in our life. And can create that to be kind of that's just how it is, and there's no other perspective to look at it. And a lot of times our traumas can create a perspective of life just won't be better, or it can't be better. And it can be because we don't want to trust other people, or we can't trust other people, or we can't, you know, we don't want to or can't trust ourselves or life in general or others. Or that sometimes we are just the way we are because of what's happened and we can't change, or we don't believe others can change. So it can create kind of this whole thing of how things are just, it's unchangeable, right? Especially when we have our story set. And what I always say, well, there I go, always, what I often say is look at your story and try to change the story to where you are not in the victim role as much as you have been. Now, that doesn't mean you haven't been the victim, because in many situations that is truly the reality. But is there another aspect of how you can view it? And that is, for example, in my case, you know, with the stories that I've had and have been dealing with in life, and am in a work in progress to heal, is of course remembering the painful stuff. It can definitely create that spiral of negativity, and then I have to identify what it's doing to me and how I'm feeling, and is it serving me, and then of course I come up with the answers of no, I don't want that to be holding me back, and so implementing the various things that I have to do to make things better. And of course, that is changing my story in that, you know, I can't change the facts or my memories of the facts, but what I'm allowing it to do to me. So it has allowed me to, those experiences or has allowed me to, well, the thing I put in perspective, and I always say this in other shows, is that I couldn't be who I am today or do what I do if I didn't go through that, right? If I didn't feel the emotions, if I didn't have those things that taught me life's lessons, if, you know, so that I can have compassion or humility or whatever. So the stuff that seemed like a curse at the time, you know, can be put in perspective as a blessing. So those are just some of the things, and this is kind of, that's going to be a common theme of the other stuff I'll be discussing here. But the story is, the other part of what I talk about the story is that as long as we're alive, we haven't reached the end of our story, right? We still have a story that's being written, that's being created, and that's the exciting part, right? We had the story that was a past chapter, and now we are in our further chapters, or maybe we're even in different books or different volumes, whatever. But we don't have to stick to being stuck with that story or that chapter, right? Okay, I think I've tried to make that clear enough. Another thing is, let me see here. One thing to look at is, do you expect that in order to be happy, you need other people to change? You need the situation to change. You need your partner to change. You need other people to change. And if we are really real with ourselves, we need to accept that we really can't make other people change. You can, but I'm talking about the bigger picture. We can only change ourselves. And, you know, we can change ourselves either by the way we think or what we do or even what we accept. And even in changing our environment, right? So the changes, we need to shift our thinking of, in order to be happy, you know, they need to change versus we need to change. But I have to put this in perspective because this could be easily misunderstood. Please keep in mind that the unhealthy side of this perspective is when we try to change ourselves to make someone else happy or we're scared to lose a person to the point that, you know, we end up, we change so much that we lose ourselves. And I mentioned this actually in last week's episode. You know, a lot of times we believe that we just need to, you know, change ourselves to be happy. And what I'm talking about, the unhealthy aspect of this, is that when we are not being true to ourselves, that what I'm talking about in this specific case is when someone has the perspective of, you know, I'll only be happy if he'll do this for me, or if he will or she will change. And, you know, I hear many people, even good friends, and even I've had that perspective myself in the past of, you know, this is a bad situation, or I'm in a bad relationship because they're not spending enough time with me, or and I will be happy, or, you know, they'll see something different from me and we'll be happier if they spend more time with me. And so I don't know if that's so much of the best example, because that can come with a lot of different things. But if I were to put it in this perspective, is that let's say someone has that perspective, yet the person that they're with are just not in a place or a position to give that time. They just, it's not a flexible situation at the time. And so therefore, you know, sometimes one might be more punishing or stay miserable because their view of what needs to happen to make them happy or the change from the other person may not be realistic. It may not be fair. And so they stay miserable, right? So in those type of cases, you know, you take a look at whether the change is unrealistic, or is it something that you yourself will have to change because you want you want to feel better. I don't know if that's making sense. Let me try to go into it. Well, okay. I think I'm just going to go a little bit further and see if I come back to it. But it's important to know that if we demand people to change for us, you know, it may happen, but for the most part, it won't last, because they're not doing it for the right reasons. Or it won't last if they're not doing it for the right reasons. And, you know, sometimes an example would be when people will change because they were given an ultimatum and they're desperate or needy for someone and they don't want to lose that person. If and when they grow out of their desperation or neediness, or they start to feel different, those reasons to change are no longer necessary. So the changes need to be realized and desired and worked on by the specific person for themselves, for their life, and not for you. You can be part of the reason, but not that. So when you're not happy in a situation, and you have to decide whether you can tolerate it or not, and accept the realities of what the other person might be capable of. Maybe, you know, consciously or subconsciously they're not able to do it. Maybe physically they're not able to do it. Maybe situationally they're not able to do it. So in those cases, you have to make your own changes, right? You know, let me. I wrote a note to myself going back to making our own. Okay, so in making our own changes, well, this is what's important is that we look at making our own changes versus expecting the changes from someone else. What are some of the things we can do? Of course, one, have an open discussion of what each of you want and need, right? Each of you. See which ones are can be compromised, you know, be very realistic, and coming from a healthy standpoint. Decide what your deal breakers are. And try to honor that, because a lot of times, and this goes back to my last show, of sometimes we allow things that we thought we never would. You know, we kind of become codependent or we lose ourselves. So try to identify what our deal breakers are, know why those are our deal breakers, and try to honor that. But, you know, if you decide to compromise that, because you just think you have to or you need to, or you know, keep a mental check on how it'll feel for you if you allow yourself to compromise and accept things that you didn't think you would. But keep a mental check, see how it'll feel for you through the process, and then give yourself permission to reassess and change your mind if it doesn't feel right, and change your situation. Right. Okay. Another thing to do is to surround yourself with a support system that is nurturing and non-judgmental, but yet can be, you know, the support system of people in your life that can be nurturing and non-judgmental, but can be real and authentic with you. That won't be kind of fluffing you up or just saying things because they don't know what to say and just want to kind of make you feel better, but won't be real. You know, and people who sincerely care for you or love you and respect you. And please, this is where it's important, because especially when we're down, it's easy to take people for granted, the people we care for, because we can be so emotionally numb or detached. So an important part in life is that we just cannot take the people in our lives for granted. The people who do care about us. So surround yourself in a peaceful, positive, caring, nurturing, loving energy. Because energy, like I said, energy can make the biggest difference in how we create our lives. The energy, not only our own energy, but the energy that we surround ourselves with. Right. Another is, you know, if we want peace in our life, we don't have to kind of do a lot of stuff to look for peace. We have to start off with being peace, right? If we want peace, we have to be peace, and it's really kind of simple. And sometimes people actually don't know what peace is, because life has been filled with drama or turmoil. So what is peace? If you don't know, look it up. or that's the easy answer. But what I also like to say is, you know, if you don't know what peace is because life is just full of drama, then just work backwards. Find out what the drama is in your life and what doesn't feel right or feel good. And try to envision the opposite. Right. So if you're in a relationship where there's just constant yelling and arguing, try to envision how it would be to be in a relationship that's peaceful and laughing and happy, If you're in a relationship that's cold and detached, that you are in a relationship that is warm and considerate and nurturing and affectionate. You know, I always say the easy thing to remember is to follow the golden rule, treat others as you would want to be treated. And if most of us did that, you know, life could be far more peaceful than it is. Another thing is just avoid putting yourself in situations that you know will create drama and conflicts or useless negativity. And sometimes if you don't know that those situations will create that, you will figure it out once you're in there. So be cognizant of the changes or the things you're going through or the not good feelings that you're feeling or the stress or the anxiety. And then you'll know it's not a good situation. And if you can, remove yourself from that toxic or harmful energy. It sounds hard. It sounds easy. but it gets easier when you just learn how to kind of set the boundaries and have the mantra of, you know, I don't want the drama. Or I'm out when the drama's there, or not engage in it, right? And be cognizant of it if you don't realize it and you're starting to find yourself engaging, remove yourself once you realize it, okay? Other ways to shift your energies, expose yourself to things that feel good or happy, funny, movies, videos, books, people. Laughter is one of the fastest ways to shift your energies. I think my cousin, Arlene in Virginia, she was telling me she's going to be going to a laughing yoga class. So I'd seen that on TV and I thought that was great. I would love to hear more about that firsthand from her when she does, and I'll report it back here. But, you know, something that I will do is I will just kind of jump on my phone and do a YouTube search for some funny videos or whatever, you know, knowing that I just kind of need to do that as a jump-off point if things are really tough or hard. Or I'll call someone, one of my good friends. Kathy is one of our closest friends, my best friend, and Kathy and I will hang out and we will just laugh for hours. And that's always a very healing thing. So we'll actually create that for ourselves at times when we are going through some tough times. And we all kind of make each other laugh, but we definitely have recognized Kathy to be our mascot. She was one of the callers, one of our earlier calls. but, yeah, creating laughter. Laughter is definitely one of the quickest ways to shift your energies. Another is to allow for physical touch, hugging, massages, physical affection. You know, not only is physical touch another way of shifting your energies, but the touch actually promotes healing and feeling better. And hopefully you're receiving the physical touch from something that is loving or with more positive energy, because energies are transferable. So allow for physical touch. Another thing is take responsibility for things that you may have regretted, or some things that you feel ashamed of, or secrets, you know, and then forgive yourself. But the important part of it first is that you recognize it, you take responsibility for your part, Sometimes there are things that you really were unfairly victimized, and there's no way you could have done things differently. And in those cases, you just forgive yourself, right? But it is important that if there is something that you can identify that you could have done differently, just learn from that so that you could be, you know better the next time. What's that saying? When you know better, you do better. So you have to first take responsibility, though, and then definitely work towards forgiving yourself. And, you know, counseling or therapy or dealing with or talking to someone who can be objective is very and supportive is very important for this as well. Let's see, I only have a few more minutes. I'm going to rush through the rest of this list. What I like to do is I make a list of the person that I want to be. I've done this throughout my, even since I was young, the person that I want to be and the life that I want to have, right? And then give examples of things that you want to do and experience, so, and make it real in your mind, envision it, because our subconscious mind records everything that we think of or experience consciously. And for the most part, our subconscious mind can't differentiate between whether it's real or not real. So envision the stuff that you want. Envision the person you want to be. Know the details. Be very clear in that. And make the list. Take it out of your head and put it down on paper. Review it, and again, envision. Okay, make a list of all the blessings you have in your life, and then further than that, write why they are blessings. You can start off the list as, you know, I am grateful for, or I appreciate. And if you can do this on a regular basis, and daily is the best. You know, it's the best if you can do it daily, but at the very least, even when things are just really feel lost or hopeless, you know, do it then. I like to do this in terms of everything. There's a great book called The Magic where it really, really, really kind of does a brain workout on you on how to do that. Going from situations to money to relationships to people you're having problems with, recognizing everything that you can be grateful for or appreciate, you know, making a list of the things that have been painful and then identify what lessons you learned from them and how it's made your life better. That was big. Making a list of the people I've had challenges with or have felt pain from. And so, you know, that always identifying what the issue is, what lessons you've learned and how it's made you or your life better. Okay. And in closing up, I will again say, you know, just know what it is you want and envision it. Go back through the stuff we've talked here. There's many more things. Feel free to email me if you have any other questions or comments. Create your story. You're not stuck. And that's it. Thanks again for listening. I send everyone my love and blessings. And stay tuned next week, next Monday. Please support Royal and feel free to contact me if you have any questions or comments. Have a beautiful week ahead.